We are continuing our sermon series where we've been looking through this section of the Gospel of John where Jesus is preparing for departure. And last week we read about how Jesus and his disciples arrived for dinner together. Jesus washed their feet. And actually, all the remaining chapters in this series tell us about what Jesus said in the presence of his disciples on that night, which would be the last night before he was arrested and killed. And so I wonder, would you open up your Bible to John chapter 13, John chapter 13 and verse 18. It's on page, if you're using the Church Bible, page 1534. So that's 1534. And I'm going to read from John chapter 13 and verse 18. As Jesus continues his discussion after he's washed their feet. Verse 18. I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen. But this is to fulfill the passage of Scripture, he who shared my bread has turned against me. I'm telling you now, before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Very truly I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. And Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." And then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. And as soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. And so Jesus told him, "What you're about to do, do quickly." But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival or give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I'm going you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Well, this is God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we pause to think about these words of Jesus and think about our own lives, we pray that you will equip us to see the grace and the mercy of Jesus and to respond in our own lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we're going to talk about failure. In particular, we're going to talk about failure to faithfully obey Jesus. I think all of us have had moments where we say to ourselves, what have I just done? But importantly, this morning we're also going to talk about what comes after failure. I mean, in our passage today, Jesus predicts two failures by his disciples. He predicts that Judas will betray him. And he predicts that Peter will deny him. And what I want to do is I want us to start in this passage, John chapter 13. I want us to see how similar the stories of Judas and Peter are in some ways. But then I want to follow on. I want us to look at where this story is going. And I want to point out how different Peter and Judas are in other ways. And then we'll finish off with some life takeaways. See, there's a few ways that, well, at least on the surface, Judas and Peter have a lot in common. And the first one I've mentioned is that Jesus predicts that both of them will fail. John chapter 13, verse 19. He says, I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. See, the disciples are not really prepared for what's about to happen on this night. But Jesus is. However, even though Jesus knows what's going to happen, that doesn't make it any easier. In some ways, it makes it harder for Jesus because he knows what's coming. Have a look at verse 21. After he'd said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." Did you hear that? Jesus, the Son of God, is troubled in spirit when he thinks about Judas and what Judas is going to do. It grieves Jesus that someone who's been close to him, someone who's shared in all the travels together, someone who's been side by side with Jesus in the ministry of the kingdom, someone who's shared a table with Jesus, is the one who's going to betray him. Because it's the people close to you that can hurt you the most, isn't it? I mean, if a random stranger walks up to you and says something rude in the street, you might get fired up for a moment, but then it's pretty easy to just let it go. But when someone who's been close to you, someone who's been close to you for a long period of time, rejects you, that really hurts. I'm sure there's some of you here who have been through maybe a painful divorce. Maybe you're estranged from your family. Now, you should know that Jesus has experienced this kind of grief. When it comes to Peter, Jesus speaks with, well, a tinge of sadness, but also there's a note of hope. Jesus tells his disciples that he's going away, and in fact, probably easier if I read a little chunk from this passage, starting at verse 36. Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Disown. That's a pretty strong word. To disown someone means you're saying they're not mine, I don't know them, they're not connected to me. And Peter's going to do this not just once. Like, it's easy to have a slip of the tongue and say, oops, I didn't mean to say that. Three times. And so it's pretty serious, but as serious as it is, did you notice that there's a note of hope that Jesus gives? He says, where I'm going, you cannot follow now. You're not going to be able to. But you will follow later. Peter's going to mess up this time, but he will get there eventually. And so I think most of you are familiar with the story of what happens next. Later that night, both of them will dishonor Jesus in the face of his enemies. I mean, you flick forward a few chapters to John chapter 18. Several hours later, Jesus, remember, he went out to the garden to pray. John chapter 18, verse 2, now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests. And because of Judas's betrayal, Jesus is arrested and pretty quickly will be sentenced to death. That's Judas. Well, what about Peter? What's going to happen with Peter? Well, in that same chapter, Peter's going to briefly try and turn things violent until Jesus puts a stop to that. But actually, perhaps we can continue the story by turning over to the Gospel of Matthew. Because Matthew tells us the same story, but gives us a bit more detail about Peter and Judas. So I wonder if you could keep a bookmark here in John. Because we're gonna do a bit of flipping back and forward between John and Matthew's Gospels. But I'm turning to Matthew chapter 26, right at the end of Matthew chapter 26, on page 1419. And so Matthew tells us the story, you know, how the trial of Jesus is happening and Peter's kind of just outside, and three times Peter's challenged, hey, aren't you one of his disciples? And Peter's like, no, not me. And then, well, by the third time, let's read Matthew chapter 26, verse 74. Verse 74. Then he began to call down curses and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately, a rooster crowed. It's kind of ironic when you think about it. Judas betrays Jesus by saying, hey, I know him. I'll show you where to find him. Whereas Peter denies Jesus by saying, oh, I don't know him. I wouldn't know where to find him. In some ways, at least Judas is telling the truth. You know, sometimes unbelievers are a bit more honest about their sin. I mean, as Christians, we can sort of feel like we have this image, this reputation to live up to, and we can be in denial about what's really happening in our lives. The third similarity between Judas and Peter is that both of them show remorse. Well, let's stay in Matthew. At the very end of Matthew chapter 26, Peter went outside and what did he do? Wept bitterly. What have I done? And Judas, on the surface, is actually not so different. Just scan down to Matthew chapter 27, verse 3. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with what? Remorse. Judas is sitting there going, what have I just done? But you know, there are two kinds of remorse. 2 Corinthians, it says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. So you see, when you have sorrow about something you've done, it could be a good thing. Actually, it really depends on what happens next. Let's keep thinking about Judas and Peter. And I want to show you how, under the surface, their stories are quite different. If we back up a bit, I'm flicking to John 13, where we started. We can notice that on that night, Judas and Peter, they each have a different intention. John doesn't explain to us exactly what's motivating Judas to betray Jesus. I mean, he talks about how Judas loved money and he was given money as a reward for handing Jesus over. But however exactly that worked out, when we get to today's passage, Judas has already made up his mind. John chapter 13, verse 2, it says, the devil had already prompted Judas to betray Jesus. And so when it gets to that moment in the meal where Jesus leans over with that piece of bread, this is verse 26, and he says, what you're about to do, do it quickly. This is not like some new idea for Judas. Jesus is recognizing that Judas has already made up his mind to do this evil thing. And so Jesus is saying, Judas, let's not make this long and drawn out. If you've decided, then get on with it. And so Judas will go and do what he intends. Whereas Peter's story is a story of failing to do what he intends. Verse 37, Peter says, I will lay down my life for you. That's what he intends to do, he just doesn't. See, when you truly come to Jesus, what happens? What's involved? When you truly come to Jesus, it's through repenting and believing the good news. Jesus gives you a new heart. Repent means a change of mind. It means we say, Jesus, I will no longer live with evil intentions. I will live with you as my Lord. I will live to do good. Now, we are weak. We are messed up by sin. We fail. Peter will fail in his intention to do good. Fear will get the better of him. I think most of us can relate to that. Fear to stand up for Jesus. Can you see that in this moment, Judas and Peter, they look the same on the surface, but there's something different going on underneath in their hearts. Judas is just finally coming out and being who he is. His heart's not really with Jesus. His heart doesn't really want to be a disciple of Jesus. And now he's just living that reality. Whereas Peter on this night, he wants to follow Jesus. He wants to be with Jesus, but he's going to live inconsistently with who he is. You know, when someone in the Christian community fails in an obvious, observable way, what does that mean? I mean, it could be that they're not really a Christian. Or it could be that they are a child of God, but they're backsliding. They're failing to be who they are. And on the surface, it can look the same to us. But whatever's under the surface will be made clear by what happens in the end. Because the second difference between Judas and Peter is that after they sin, after they're filled with this remorse and sadness, they both go running for refuge, but they both choose a different refuge. Well, where does Judas go? He's filled with remorse. And now I'm back in Matthew. Judas, he goes back to those chief priests who paid him in the first place. He says, I want to give you a refund. I want to return the money. He's full of guilt. He's trying to make it right. I did this. Can I undo this? He's saying, how do I fix this? Now, they're not interested. Matthew chapter 27, verse 4. What's that to us? They replied. That's your responsibility. See, in the world, there's people who will promise you good things when they need you. But when you fall, when you get cancelled, they're not offering forgiveness and mercy and a way back. And so what happens? Judas is just overcome with his guilt. And he decides, well, I'll fix it by punishing myself. And he takes his own life. Which is, it's not a solution. It doesn't solve anything. It's just a tragic end. But on the other hand, Peter, where does he go? Well, the next time we hear about Peter, so it's early Sunday morning. And where's Peter? He's with the other disciples. Early in the morning, Mary Magdalene bursts in with news. The tomb's empty. So Peter runs. He wants to find out what's going on. And to cut a longer story short, what happens in the end? Peter meets Jesus and Jesus restores him. So you see, the Christian community is designed to be a place of restoration. The Christian community is designed to be a place where sinners can meet Jesus afresh, because Jesus, the Lord, is the true refuge. So I want to beg you, when you fail, when you sin, never think that you need to hide away from the Christian community. Never think that we're just all waiting to point our fingers at you. Now, this place is supposed to be like a doctor's waiting room. We're all here because we're sick or we're injured, and we know that Jesus is the healer of our souls. Jesus wants us as his followers to be known by the kind of love which echoes his love. I should be clear in what I'm saying. I'm not saying that if there's unrepentant sin, if there's ongoing sinful lifestyle, that we just say, hey, yeah, no worries, that's cool. Because, well, what have we read this morning? Sin grieves Jesus. So if sin grieves Jesus, then let's take sin seriously. So I don't know, let's pick a random example. Imagine there's a Christian who's caught stealing from their boss. We don't just say, all right, do you repent? Good. Okay, forget about it. I mean, wouldn't it be better for someone to walk beside you and unpack what's happened and help you figure out what it looks like to resolve things and make sure it doesn't happen again? But the point I'm trying to make is that while we're working through things, while we're resolving things, let's do it in an environment of grace. Humbly, knowing that Jesus is gentle with the brokenhearted. When we stand back and look at this whole story of Judas and Peter, what is the difference between them? Is it Judas bad, Peter good? Well, they're both sinners. They've both failed Jesus. But Peter is a recipient of God's grace. He's messed up, but okay, where does our Bible reading today, John chapter 13, where does it end? Jesus asks, Peter, will you really lay down your life for me? And the point is, no, but Jesus will lay down his life for Peter. Even though he knows what Peter's about to do, even though he knows that Peter will disown him, Jesus is about to go to the cross for Peter's sins on that same day. Jesus is going to give up his life to provide a basis for forgiveness. Jesus is going to come back from the dead to offer Peter full restoration. And when that happens, Peter's going to know that he's done nothing to deserve it. What can Peter say except, yes, Lord, thank you, I love you. Yes, I do want to get back to serving you. Friends, when Jesus died for you, he knew all your weaknesses in faith. When Jesus died for you, he knew all your failures to obey, but he loved you and went to that cross anyway. That's how deep his love is. And this is our reason to persevere, to keep trusting Jesus even after we fail. Because in the end, we won't be judged on the basis of how well we've laid down our lives for him. In the end, we will be judged according to the way he laid down his life for us. So what are the life takeaways? Let's go with these three. Let's be realistic about our weakness. Peter thought that he could lay down his life for Jesus that night. It's a bit like the driver. If you're a driver and you think you're invincible, well, the driver who thinks they're invincible is probably more likely to end up in a nasty crash, yeah? If we're realistic about our weaknesses, we'll go to Jesus and ask for strength even before the temptation comes. Second one, when you do fail, where will you run? Will you run to the people of God so that you can be pointed back to Jesus? And thirdly, when someone around you fails, it'll happen, but will you be prepared to lead them first to the grace of the gospel? Will you be prepared to love as Jesus has loved you? How is Jesus has loved you? He's loved you despite your failures. Can we be a community that's safe to run to for people who are seeking forgiveness and change and restoration? Because sometimes when someone you know fails, maybe lets you down, you can feel betrayed or angry. But if we've been forgiven so much, then let's have a heart to see others experience God's forgiveness as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what love Jesus had. with all of that happening on that same day that he went to the cross. Father, I pray that you will continually draw us back to Jesus. Draw us back to his mercy and his grace. Father, please make us a community which shares that grace and love that comes from Jesus. We ask this in his name. Amen.